जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारे, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारे, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तेरा वन चारे, यमुना तीरावन चारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारे, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारे, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तेरा वन जारे, यमुना तेरा वन जारे, जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदादा श्रीवासदे गौर भक्त वृंद, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Vallabha Radha Vallabha Radha Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Shri Radhe Jaya Jagannatha Jaya Jagannatha Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Devi Jaya Gauranita 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 Jaya Gauranita Nitai Gaura Hare Bol Hare Bol Hare Bol Nitai Gaura Hare Bol
Gaura Premanandi Jaya Om Vishnupadaya Paramahamsa Parivrakracharya Astotara Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri 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 Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Vala Bhagavani Ki Jai Narasingha Bhagavan All glories of the assembled devotees, all glories of the assembled devotees, all glories of the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter, titled Instructions for Civilized Human Being, text number 31. Correct? Dese suchi same rajan. Dese suchau same rajan. Samstapasanam atmanah. Samstapyasanam atmanah. Shriram Shriram dukkam samam tasmin. Stiram dukkam samam tasmin. Aashet arjanga omiti. Aashet arjanga omiti. Dese suchau same rajan. Dese suchau same rajan. Samstapasanam atmanah. Samstapyasanam atmanah. Stiram dukkam samam tasmin. Stiram dukkam samam tasmin. Ashit arjanga om iti. Asit arjanga om iti. We'll see the word-to-word meaning. They say, in a place, suchau, very sacred, same, level, rajan, Walking. Samstapya. Placing. Asanam. On the seat. Atmanaha. Oneself. Stiram. Very steady. Sukham. Comfortably. Samam. Equipoise. Tasmin. On that sitting place. Asita. One should sit down. Ruju Anga. The body perpendicularly straight. Om. The Vedic mantra pranava. Iti. In this verse. In this way. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear King, in a sacred and holy place of pilgrimage, one should select a place in which to perform yoga. The place must be level and not too high or too low. There, one should sit very comfortably, being steady and equipoised, keeping his body straight, and thus begin chanting the Vedic pranava. Purport. Generally, the chanting of Om is recommended because in the beginning, one cannot understand the personality of Godhead. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Badanti Tat Tattva Vidas Tattvam Yaj Jnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Sapyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. Unless one is fully convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has a tendency to become an impersonalist yogi searching for the Supreme Lord within the core of his heart. Dana vasista tat gatena manasa pasyanti yam yogina. Here, the chanting of Omkara is recommended because in the beginning of the transcendental realization, instead of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one may chant Omkara, pranava. There's no difference between the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Omkara because both of them are sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. In all Vedic literatures, the sound vibrations, Omkara, is a beginning. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The difference between chanting Omkara and chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra is that the Hare Krishna Mantra may be chanted without consideration of the place or the sitting arrangement recommended in the Bhagavad Gita. Sauchau Desi Prasistapya Stiram Asanam Atmanaha Nati Uchitiram Nati Nicham Chailajina Kushottaram. To practice yoga, one should go to a secluded place and should lay kusa grass on the ground and then cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth. The seat should neither be too high nor too low and should be situated in a sacred place. The Hare Krishna mantra may be chanted by anyone without consideration of the place or how one sits. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has openly declared, Niyamatiha Smaraneena Kalaha. In chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there are no particular injunction regarding one's sitting place. The injunction, Niyamitaha Smaraneena Kalaha, includes Desa, Kala and Patra, place, time and individual. Therefore, anyone may chant the Hare Krishna Mantra without consideration of the time and place. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to find a suitable place according to the recommendation of Bhagavad Gita. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, however, may be chanted at any place and at any time, and this brings results very quickly. Yet, even while chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, Maha Mantra, one may observe regulative principles Thus, while sitting and chanting, one may keep his body straight, and this will help one in the chanting process. Otherwise, one may feel sleepy. Om Agyana Timarandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilatamena Tasmai Shri Guruvenam Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadatiswa Padantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, people are not sleeping in today. They're all here. Huh? So, this is a conversation going on between Narada Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj. In the previous chapter, which is chapter 14, Narada Muni was talking about the importance of Brahmana, especially the householder's life. In this chapter, he's talking about the hierarchy of the Brahmanas. So we have crossed up to 31 verses. Yeah, today we are doing 31. Now initially, four categories are given, which falls under the Varnashrama Dharma. The Brahmanas who are householders and who are attached to the fruitive activities, they are called as Grahasthas, the first level. Then above them are Brahmanas who retire from family life and they are attached to austerity and penances. They are called as? Very good. Above them are Brahmanas interested in studying Vedas and explaining it to others. They are known as? Brahmacharis. And above them are sannyasis who are interested in performing different types of yoga, especially Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. In the previous yuga, people were performing Ashtanga Yoga. And now, in Kali Yuga, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are able to do Bhakti Yoga directly. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Now, let us see what is Ashtanga Yoga initially. Because from verse number 30 onwards, Narada Muni is talking about the Ashtanga Yoga process. 30 onwards, up to the next few verses, Ashtanga Yoga steps, limbs are being explained. In this verse, Narada Muni is explaining about the sitting postures, which is asana. Yeah? So, there are Ashtanga means 8 limbs. The yoga process of Ashtanga Yoga has got 8 limbs. What are they? Do anyone know that? What are the 8 limbs of Ashtanga Yoga? We go in order. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Now, Yama is a restraints, or there are some codes you have to follow. For example, the first recommended course is one has to leave home. That's the first step. Because Grahastha life means attachment. Okay, the first process is one must make an endeavor to leave home because he has to follow the process of self-control. Therefore, one is recommended to leave. That is Yama. Then Niyama is basically personal observances. Like, for example, every day you have to take bath, you have to be clean, and things like that. Asana is the seating postures. One has to be straight and sit straight and then concentrate. And the next one is pranayama is a breathing exercise to control the mind. Then is pratyahara. Withdraw the senses withdraw the mind from the sense objects. And then comes dharana, which is preliminary meditation to remove the contamination of the mind. Then comes dhyana, which is deeper meditation, and then samadhi. Now, out of these 8 steps, right, whoever may be the yogi, regardless of his position, one must come to the stage of pratyahara, which is withdrawing the mind from the sense object. Because the mind is filled with contamination. Unless the mind is reasonably clear, or unless the mind is reasonably purified, one cannot chant, or one cannot fix the mind on the Lord's form, which is the next one, which is dharana, preliminary meditation. Now, this dharana, preliminary meditation, it is focused on the Lord's form. So in the Ashtanga Yoga, what they're doing is, they're focusing on the Lord's impersonal aspect. But in the Bhakti Yoga, we are focusing on the Lord's personal aspect. That's the difference. And then, with this dharana, preliminary meditation to remove the contamination of mind, this is a very, very important step. Now, we will discuss that very quickly, this point, with regard to the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, towards the end, Parikshit Maharaj is asking a question to Shukadeva Goswami. The question is, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances, and especially for those who are about to die? This is a question. He asks 6 questions, and this is the first question he's asking. What is the duty of everyone, especially at the time of death? Now, Sukadeva Goswami, the teacher and guru of Parikshit Maharaj, is not giving an answer straight away. He's giving the answer only in the second canto, in the second chapter. In the conversation, Sukadeva Goswami is talking about Ashtanga Yoga initially. And then he's concluding with Bhakti Yoga. Now, what is the reason for Sukadeva Goswami to talk about Ashtanga Yoga, considering that Maharaj Parikshit has got only 7 days to live? He has been cursed to die. He's going to die in 7 days. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami could have given the information straight away. But he did not give straight away. He did give, but later on. What's the reason for that? Anyone? Sorry, Prabhu? But Parikshit Maharaj is already a devotee, is already at a very high level. Because straight away he is able to renounce everything. When he came to know that he is going to die in 7 days, straight away he renounced his family, his kingdom. Can we do like that? Straight away? It's very difficult because he is already on that level. So it's easier for him to give away things like that very easily. Unlike us. The reason is, when Sukadeva Goswami is addressing Maharaj Parikshit, there were so lot of people assembled there. And not everyone is on the level of Parikshit Maharaj. There were karmis, jnanis, yogis, so many varieties of transcendentalists were there. And in order to give this knowledge gradually, Sukadeva Goswami is talking, this Ashtanga Yoga process. Because not everyone is interested in the personal aspect of the Lord. Not everyone wants to become a devotee. So therefore, variety is given. So, what he's saying is, in the second canto, Sukadeva Goswami is giving emphasis on this dharana. What is dharana? Preliminary meditation to remove the contamination of the mind. What he's saying? He's saying, Parikshit Maharaj, remember, dharana is a one process for the contamination of the mind, which is always mind, which is always agitated by two factors, regardless of what it is. The mind is always agitated of two factors. What are they? One is saying that it is agitated by akshiptam, which means, what is that, akshiptam? Always agitated by passion, the mode of passion. The desire will suddenly pop up. You'll be okay. Yeah? Suddenly the desire will pop up. Oh, I want this computer. Yeah? I want this car. It'll pop up. This is agitation of the mind. Passion. Unlimited desires. One after another. So it is said that psychologists, they say that a mind produces anywhere between 5,000 to 50,000 thoughts per day. Can you imagine that? thoughts constantly. And which thought are we going to stick on to that? 1 minute it says something, and next minute something, like a pendulum, you know, it goes like this. 1 minute it will say something, you know, favorable. The next minute, totally unfavorable. There's no connection. And again, what it does, it comes back again to the same thing and talks about the favorable thing. Again, unfavorable. In that, it goes here and there and people are agitated like anything. If there is a problem in the body, we go to a physio and get it done. But what are you going to do with the mind? What physio are you going to do for the mind? The physiotherapy recommended for the mind is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So what happens when you chant? It is like slowly giving massage to the mind. This is how it works. Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, continuing, Sukadeva Goswami is saying two things. Always it's agitated by rajas and then bewildered by tamas, which is vimudam. Always it happens, any given time, because you are in ignorance, you know, we'll be always bewildered. We do not know how to act. And because of this, you know, always the living entity is having problems. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is recommending you should have an object of meditation. Because the mind is constantly disturbed, he recommends again object of meditation for two levels of people. The first level is a yogi who is attached to material desires. It's not perfectly pure. A yogi, practicing yogi, is attached to material desires. For him, the recommended process is meditating on the Virat Rupa, the universal form of the Lord. Seeing spirit in matter. For a materialist, okay, all he knows is only matter and enjoyment. Yes? What is it? What? How I can enjoy? How I can see this matter and enjoy? Yeah? For a materialist, he doesn't know anything beyond matter. For him, the best source is to worship on the Virat form of the Lord. And for a yogi who is a little bit advanced, he can meditate on the Paramatma, on different limbs of the body. Sukadeva Goswami is recommending that. And then He says, although I've given this path, the most auspicious path, the best of all path I'm recommending to you is Bhakti Yoga. And why is he saying that? Sukadeva Goswami, he knows everything, right? He's completely on a transcendental level. Okay? He considers, see, his level is such that he thinks that his body is a dress for the soul. He doesn't wear a dress. Imagine his power and his consciousness, completely transcendental. So, Sukadeva Goswami, he says, because he's a transcendental, he knows, and he doesn't say that, yes, I know everything. Come on, I'll tell you what I know. He doesn't say like that. As a devotee, what he says is always quoting references and scriptures. So he's saying, Bhakti Yoga is the best. Why? Because I am taking the verdict of Brahma, Lord Brahma. He's quoting that. And what is the verdict of Lord Brahma? He says, Lord Brahma has studied Vedas 3 times scrutinizingly. That is going through every pages, you know. Scrutinizingly 3 times. How many times? Yes. 3 times he read the Vedas. And finally he came to the conclusion that Bhakti Yoga is the best. There is no way you can avoid Lord Krishna. You cannot avoid Krishna. So this is a process recommended by Lord Brahma. So Bhakti Yoga is the best. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is quoting, this is Brahma's verdict, it's not my verdict. Because a devotee always wants to be an instrument. Yeah? He doesn't say that, yeah, I am doing it because of me. He always quotes the Shastra, my spiritual master, or the Acharyas has given this. So in this way, they want to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord. So he's saying the verdict of Brahma. So, Ashtanga Yoga is a process for the people in the previous yugas. But in this yuga, can you leave your family straight away? And even if you leave, your wife will come back on you. Because she will find out all your address. And she will take you back. Okay? So practically it's not possible. And meditation also. How long can you meditate? You know, different steps. It's very, very difficult to follow this Ashtanga process in Kali Yuga. And therefore, what is the recommended process? Sankirtana Yajna. Very, very easy. You can sit on your sofa and chant. Not on an asana like this. You know? Anywhere you can sit. But sit comfortably and chant. This is a process recommended. So, Srila Prabhupada talks about very interesting few points in the purport. We'll come back to that in a minute. But before that, this Ashtanga Yoga process is so important in the previous yugas. So it has been emphasized in Srimad Bhagavatam number of times. So this is not in the seventh canto it's been emphasized. There are so many different places in which Ashtanga Yoga is mentioned and glorified also. So we'll see a few places, okay? In the first canto, in the 13th chapter, it is said that Dhritarashtra was also engaged in Ashtanga Yoga. By how? But bathing 3 times in a day. Morning, noon and afternoon, and by performing Agnihotra sacrifice with fire and by drinking only water. This helps one to control the mind and the senses and frees one from the affection, family affection. Okay, so Dhritarashtra was performing. And then in the 3rd canto, Kapila Muni, Kapila Deva is talking to Devahuti and he's saying, I shall explain to you the process of Ashtanga Yoga. To concentrate the mind. And then Narada Muni instructs Dhruva Maharaj. He says, my dear boy, in the waters of Yamuna river, you should take 3 times bath daily because the water is very auspicious. For after bathing, you should perform the necessary regulative principles of Ashtanga yoga and then sit down on your asana in a calm and quiet place. And therefore, for our chanting also, which is going to come, Srila Prabhupada is going to talk, we must try to find a place, quiet place, calm place for chanting. Otherwise, already the mind is disturbed. On top of that, if the environment is also disturbing, we cannot concentrate on the chanting. See, the mind is a habit-forming machine. Anything we do with the mind, it creates a habit. And therefore, sometimes, you know, when we get up, we don't even realize, you know, we go to the bathroom, we take the brush and clean. Because mind knows, every day morning, we don't think, oh, I have to brush my teeth. It happens automatically. So in the same way, every day, if you have a time, prescribed time for chanting, then automatically the mind will tell you, yes, now it's the time for chanting. And find a quieter place. And then Maharaj Prithu followed the path as advised by Sanat Kumara. And he practiced breathing exercises to control the mind. So, he did asana and also pranayama, breathing exercises. And then, in the 4th canto, Lord Shiva instructs the sons of Prachiniya Bharat, Prachetas also. And in the 11th canto, the Avadhuta Brahmana explains to Maharaj Yadu what he's saying. Having perfected the yoga sitting postures and conquered the breathing process, one should take the mind steady by detachment and regulated practice of yoga. Then, in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna explains to Uddhava also this process, Ashtanga Yoga. And then, the Amsa avatar of the Lord, the swan avatar of the Lord, is explained to the 4 Kumaras also about this Ashtanga Yoga process. So, Amsa is telling, I've explained to you the confidential knowledge of Sankhya, that is, by which one can differentiate between matter and spirit, and then of Ashtanga Yoga, by which one links up with the Supreme. So you can see that the importance of Ashtanga Yoga is great. And in the previous yugas, they were following Ashtanga Yoga because there was no other process to follow. But fortunately for us, Bhakti Yoga, the highest process is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore it's very easy to process Bhakti Yoga over Ashtanga Yoga. So, now we'll come to the purport. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, unless one is fully convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has a tendency to become an impersonal yogi, searching for the Supreme Lord within the core of the heart. And then, he also says that, there is no difference between Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Omkara, as both of them are sound representation of the Lord. If both are same, then Hare Krishna Mantra has got 16 words. Om has got only 1. So why can't we do Om? We can do 32 rounds. Isn't it? What do you think? The better alternative. Yeah, because Srila Prabhupada is saying there's no difference. So why can't we do Om and get away with things rather than citing 16 words, you know, every time. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Om. Job is over. Very easy also. Yeah, what do you think? Prabhupada has said and has also given the answer. What's the answer he's giving? Because he says the difference between chanting Omkara and chanting Hare Krishna Mantra is that Hare Krishna Mantra can be chanted without consideration of place or sitting postures. You can even sleep and chant. But it's not recommended, I'm just saying. Because you can follow this based on any place, time and circumstances. How do you know that? That Hare Krishna mantra, we can chant based on any time, place and circumstances. There is a story, we'll talk about it. In Chaitanya Charitamrita. The story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gopal Guru. Do you all know that story? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord himself, yeah, when he goes for the morning duties, you know, bathroom, toilet and all that, what he does is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has got a habit of chanting Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours, constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Tongue will be constantly chanting. Now, when he goes to the toilet, when he goes, or when he's, he feels that he should not be chanting. So what he does, he tries to hold his tongue between the teeth, like this, to stop chanting. Now, at one such instance, a small boy by name Gopal, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, holding his tongue, like this. Then he observed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the bathroom, he came back, and then, again, he has to take his shower, and then only he will chant. Then, Gopal was a very inquisitive boy. He asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why are you holding your tongue? What's the problem? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, see, this toilet is a dirty place. I don't want to chant Hare Krishna mantra, you know, in the dirty place. For that, Gopal said, when a person dies, he'll be passing urine and stool automatically without his knowledge because of the fear. So at that time, the Shastra is recommending people to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Yeah? So, how do you justify that? For the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, you are right. This is the injunction of the Shastra. And therefore, I like this. Today onwards, I will chant 24 hours, wherever I go. And he was so happy with this boy that he called him Gopal Guru. So, through the story of Gopal Guru, we come to know that chanting can be done anywhere, any place, any circumstances. That's not a problem at all. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, Niyamita smaraneena kala. Chanting of the Hare Krishna, there is no injunction. Anywhere you can chant. Okay. We will stop here. Is there any questions, comments, any thoughts?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. Prabhu, you mentioned how Shukadeva Goswami didn't straight away tell Parikshit Maharaj about Bhakti Yoga because others in that arena were not on the same platform as Parikshit Maharaj, but he first told them about Ashtanga Yoga. So my question is, when we go out on Harinam Sankirtan in the city, we give books out to the new Westerners who don't know much about, like, we give them Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. So when they when Shukadeva Goswami started with Ashtanga Yoga, we are giving them the books on Krishna Consciousness. So how will they be able to understand it when they are not doing anything related to Ashtanga Yoga or any other type of yoga?
Because in this age, even if you explain to them, they will not follow. is very difficult to follow. And therefore, the easy process recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga is Bhakti Yoga. Very easy to process. Anyone can pick up a book and read, and they get the essence, and then they'll know straight away that I should chant. And they'll come to the temple and chant. So that is why all we do is distribute the book, and Srila Prabhupada will do the preaching. Yeah, an association of devotees always, you know. If they are lucky, if they come and take the association of devotees, then they'll progress. Sometimes, you know, they take the book, and for many years, they don't even come to the temple, they don't even have association, in which case, you know, they may not have an inclination to progress in Krishna consciousness. Yeah? So the association is so important. That's why association of devotees is so important, which helps us to progress in spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Give the mic. Hare Krishna. Can you give the mic to Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna. If we here in this verse, we are seeing how this the recommendation for the mantra Om, chanting mantra Om. And in Bhagavad Gita also we see how Krishna says, I'm represented through Om, or and he recommends the chanting of Om. And so, you know, many times when we meet a lot of new people who are reading the Bhagavad Gita and they read the Bhagavatam, and they say in both the scriptures the recommendation is Om. Where is the Hare Krishna mantra mentioned? So why do people chant Hare Krishna?
Prabhu, the Om is also, as Srila Prabhupada says, there's no difference because that's also the name of the Lord. Yeah? You know how? That is why if you see Srila Prabhupada in the first paragraph of the purport, he talks about different stages of God realization. There are three stages of God realization, which is, what's the first one? Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Now, to realize God, you can also realize through the impersonal aspect, which is, again, God realization. And for that, the recommended pranava is Om. Even for Paramatma also, Om. But if you want to completely realize Bhagavan, you must chant the Lord's personal name, not impersonal name. For example, there is a prime minister, we say Mr. Prime Minister and Mr. So-and-so. Yeah? As long as you call prime minister, it is okay. It is official. But when we call Mr. Robert, then it is personal. So, one cannot elevate to Bhakti Yoga Prabhu if they do not chant Hare Krishna mantra, because that is a personal name of the God. The Om is an impersonal name of the God. Okay, that is one aspect. Yeah? And the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is to surrender unto Him. So how can you surrender to someone who is not there, who is there as a light? We have to only surrender to a person, a personality, isn't it? So the conclusion is to surrender to person. When there is a personality, the person has got name, form, character, pastimes, activities. So that is what is there. Yeah? That is why the impersonalists, they don't want to accept the Lord. Because the moment you accept a person has got a form. We have to chant his name. We have to talk about his qualities. We have to talk about his pastime, about his association with the devotees. And therefore, no. Yeah? So, what is the second part of the question, Prabhu? The first part is with the...
So it's mentioned because both the scriptures are directly, you know, establishing the superiority of Bhakti Yoga and establishing Krishna as a person. Then why the Hare Krishna mantra is not recommended or not mentioned directly or clearly?
That is why you need a guru. In many places, Krishna speaks indirectly in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Krishna will not talk directly. Some of these, right, will not even understand what the Lord is talking about. So you need an interpreter. Yeah? If you go to China, if you do not know China, you need an interpreter, right? Because you don't understand the language of Chinese. And therefore, the interpreter is guru. The guru is the one who tells us what Krishna means. Because if we do not have the Bhakti Vedanta purport, how can we understand this? Yeah? And therefore, surrendering to the guru is the first process in spiritual life. So you can tell them, Prabhu, that please come and talk to my guru. And introduce to Gopa. And then he'll be alright. Okay? That is the process Krishna wants. Krishna wants a process. It is Krishna's process. We cannot say it is our process. You change the process according to me. We cannot say that. It is Krishna's process. He wants the process to go through proper channel, which is guru. And therefore we have to listen to them. No matter whatever we concoct, our own mind concoction, it's not going to work. Isn't it? Because mind is concocting. And finally, if I state one more statement, you know, you may not be very, you may not like it. In the second canto, in one of the verse, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, the symptom of this material world is nonsense, he says. Exactly. What do you mean by that? What are the symptoms? That means when someone talks about I and mine, that is nonsense. Entire people in the material world, they talk about what? I and mine. It is me, it is my things, it's my car, my computer. Yeah? So I and mine means nonsense. That is a symptom of this material world. So how can we digest some of the words of Bhagavatam? Yeah? Okay. Okay, Prabhu.
If I explain about Harinam, even in second canto there is a nice verse, Eta nirvijyamananam ichyata makuto bayam yoginam nupaninisham harinamanukirtanam. So it's directly glorifying Harinam.
But it doesn't say the Hare Krishna mantra, isn't it?
Harinam.
One may say Harinam is also, you know, Om Namo Bhagavate. Like that. No, they can argue like that. Got it? But Prabhu is talking about Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Prabhu, you're not talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, no? Both also, okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class. My question was regarding, you said that our mind is already disturbed, and if we do japa in a disturbing environment, then no rounds will be done. That's why we should do in a silent place. But Prabhuji, we also hear that we should hear like the tape of Prabhupada, and we should do in the association of the devotees when they're doing together. So then, like, how should we understand that?
No, I did not understand the second part, sorry.
The second part is basically, we should also hear the Prabhupada tape chanting, and then we should do in the association of devotees. And also it said that if we go to a silent place ourselves, then it may become like little bit.
You can hear in a very low volume. But you should, when we chant, the recommended process is we must hear our chanting, isn't it? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. We should hear our chanting. So that is the point. Because it has to go into the mind and go through the mind, it penetrates and goes to the heart. Because the hearing process is like a funnel. You know, you need a funnel to pour, isn't it? So the hearing is like a funnel. It goes and then it goes into the heart. During the process, so many things happen. One of the things is purification. So, hearing is so important. Either you hear Bhagavatam or you hear your own chanting. It's very important, hearing process. Yeah. So therefore, maybe for some time it's okay. But one must hear that chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That is japa, isn't it? Otherwise it becomes kirtan. Kirtan is someone else is chanting. You listen to that. That is kirtan. Japa means you hear your own chanting. Yeah?
Yes, thank you. Prabhu.
Nice class, Prabhu. I found that if you wear earplugs when you're chanting, if you're in a solitary place, your mind will involuntarily chant when you take your earplugs out. Like you chant all you go, everywhere you go, then your mind will involuntarily chant. So, like, even when you're going to sleep at night, sometimes you know, my mind just, you know, keeps chanting like that. So just everywhere you go, always chanting, everywhere you go.
Impressions. Whatever we do, whatever we see, whatever we hear, whatever we talk, whatever we touch, impressions are created. It may not come now. It may come after 5 years. After 10 years also. Or maybe after 5 minutes. We do not know. Everywhere impressions are created. You know? Whatever we see. Impressions. And that impression will harass us. Material action, seeing, talking, hearing, touching, they are all right, like writing on the board. See, someone has written the board. Krishna conscious means rubbing the board. It become clear. See, tomorrow if someone writes on that, you know, again, 32 they write on this, 33 they write, 34 they write. Then what do you know? Well, how can you see? And if we say, okay, read the 34 verse. Can you read that? Because it's all overwritten. Yeah? You write 32 on top of 31, 33 on 32, 34 on 33, you know? Overwriting. Can you read it? This is what our mind is producing. Impressions. Anything you do other than Krishna consciousness, impression, stamping. But Krishna consciousness, if you do, no stamping. Why? Because it's all related to soul. Therefore the mind is peaceful. Relax. With so much anxiety outside.
When we hear any, you know, good people like Vivekananda or anybody, any thought when it comes to our mind, it changes the consciousness little bit, you know, we are thinking and, you know, in a very different way and acting in a different way. But I'm trying to understand what is the work we do. It's related to the soul or it's just the work we are doing. So when we do the Krishna consciousness, like is the is changing the consciousness and we say like it's the work of soul which we are doing related to the soul. But any other activity which is not related to Krishna consciousness, but that's the pious activity or related to, you know, any other Mahapurusha or something, does it the work of soul as well or how I'll understand?
We are the spirit soul. See, we've got a soul and two bodies, subtle body, gross body. Okay? So whenever we work on the subtle body, impressions are created on the gross body. On the gross body, impressions are created on the subtle body. Okay? Now, as long as there are impressions on the subtle body, there is no liberation. The mind produces different bodies. My next body is already determined now. My mind is already taking me to the next destination. Can you imagine that? So my subtle body is already producing another gross body. So unless the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego is completely cleared, it will keep on producing gross bodies. So how do we purify all the three? Subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego. How many people know this? Yeah? They know only to use a Lux soap or something, you know, clean it. But what about the internal cleaning, mind intelligence? So for the mind, the recommended processes in Kali Yuga is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. The recommended process for the purification of intelligence is reading scriptures. Spiritual. Only that will clear the mind. And then, false ego means you must do service to Krishna. When you do service, you know that you are a servant of Krishna. And therefore your false ego goes away. If you don't do service for Krishna, your false ego will stay like that. Yeah, you may chant, you may read. Service is so important. You one must do service to Krishna. Or service to devotees. Yeah? So in that way, the subtle body is cleared. And then the soul can reach higher planetary systems. Or Goloka or Vaikuntha, like that. So any activity you do on the spiritual level means it is bypassing, it is going beyond the three modes. It goes beyond mind, intelligence, false ego. Any work you do for Krishna, it goes over that. And therefore, we are on the spiritual level. Anything you do in the material world means within the three modes. Because Krishna consciousness is beyond the three modes. Anything you do, chanting, hearing, talking about Krishna, associating, means beyond the three modes. Anything you do in the materially, for myself, for me, my family, means within the three modes. That will bind you. Three modes will always bind you. Above the three modes will not bind you. So, we should be intelligent enough to seek a activity which is beyond the three modes. And what activity is there in the material world other than Krishna consciousness? Is there any activity there? The only activity wherein we can engage in the material world but not binding. The material world is like an ocean. So Krishna conscious means it is living in water, not becoming wet.
Prabhu, the people, those do the meditation, like, you know, even they are chanting Om, they are also not doing the material activity, but they are thinking about something.
Yeah, it
beyond.
Is a Lord's form. Yeah. They will get progress, they will be purified, but they will not realize Krishna. The liberation is impersonal. They can go and enter into Brahma Jyoti. They cannot enter into the Lord's personal abode. Yeah? The liberation for Jnana Yogi and Astanga Yogi is impersonal liberation. They'll go and enter into the Brahma Jyoti. But they will never enter into Vaikuntha or Goloka. It's not possible. So it is a little bit inferior, you know. And it is said that in Brahma Jyoti, the soul is active. And because there is no association, no activity, they'll fall down to the material world again. And again they have to start the process. It's not very recommended one. So best is Bhakti Yoga and go back to Krishna. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. We'll stop here. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Kide Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Kide Nitha Gaura Premanam Hari Hari Hari. Thank you.
Yeah. This is, you know why they put Kirtan stuff here? You know why they put Kirtan stuff here? Because they're using a secret DJ guy.
Road tripper, none on the run.
Okay, you wanna go?
Wait, 1 second.
Pada kemalangan